He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, the last 3 days I've shared from the Old Testament some of my favorite chapters of the Bible. I think today we're going to move on into the New Testament for the rest of this week. And it's a hard decision for me because there's many other chapters in the Old Testament that I really like, that I've memorized over the years and would like to talk about. But we're going to move into the New Testament. And today we're going to be in John chapter 3. And here in John chapter 3, we're allowed to listen in on a very important conversation, a conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and a man named Nicodemus. Well, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. It says he was a ruler of the Jews. He wasn't just one of the ordinary men or the ordinary Pharisees or whatever, but he was also a ruler, and he came to Jesus at night. And I just leave that as a question for you. Why do you suppose he came at night? Maybe something you can ponder there. Well, he had an observation, and Nicodemus's observation was right. He recognized Jesus as a teacher, and not just an ordinary teacher, but one that had come from God. For he said, "For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him." Well, Jesus did come from God, and God was with him. He did miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 34 of the same chapter there, it says, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." So Jesus was empowered with the Spirit of God without measure. And he did all that he did through the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't his own, I don't believe it was his own godhood. He was God, but he laid all that aside and came to this earth as a man. But he did the miracles, and the all the different things that he did was through the power of the Holy Spirit. Even his teaching was through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Nicodemus's observation was right. He was sent from God. And, you know, he thought he was because of the way he spoke and also because of all the miracles he did. But I want us to beware, because there's a day coming that another miracle worker will arise, and most of the world will believe that he is also from God, but he will be doing miracles through the power of the devil. Now, Steve, why do you think that? You know, is that just your own thoughts, you know, and stuff? Well, no, it's not my own thoughts. It's what the Bible says. Let me just read a couple scriptures to you. In 2 Thessalonians 2, and I'd encourage you to read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to read two verses. In verse 9, it says, verse 8, it talks about the this wicked one who's going to be revealed. Verse 9, it says, "For in him who's coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." He's going to come with power and signs and lying wonders. This is the Antichrist. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." And he's the Antichrist, and what that means is he's another Christ. He's he will come as Christ, but he won't be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be against Christ. And another verse to consider would be in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 13. It says, "And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of these miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live." So anyway, I just encourage you to read Revelation chapter 13, and it talks about the Antichrist, talks about the false prophet. But I just want you to beware that there will be a time coming that there will be another miracle worker, and people will think that he is from God. In fact, the whole world, a lot of the world, will think that he is from God because of the miracles that he's doing. But he's not from God. He's from the devil. So anyway, Jesus, he didn't comment on Nicodemus's observations, but told him something that he needed to know. And this is what he told him. He says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So that was a strange thought to Nicodemus. How can a man be born when he's old? How can he be born again? How can he be? Can he go through his mother's womb and be born again? He didn't understand. And Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And this is talking about a spiritual birth, not a physical birth. He was already born once through water, which was through the, when a woman gives birth, there's the baby's in the water, and the water breaks, and the baby comes out. This is could be a picture of what he's talking about here as far as the water, but it's a spiritual birth. And it's something that Nicodemus needed to know, even though he was a ruler, even though he was a religious man, he needed to know that he was not born again, and he needed to be born. He needed to be born of the Spirit of God. He needed a spiritual birth. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. The fleshly birth, the earthly birth, a man's born through in the flesh, through the water and through the birth canal and all that. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that's what God wants for all of his people in this earth. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance and that all would come to this spiritual birth. But it's a choice that we make. And we're drawn by the Spirit of God, and we have to make that choice whether we're going to follow God, whether we're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, or whether we're not going to believe and be damned, like I read in the beginning of this chapter, or the beginning of this daily inspiration, verse 36 that I read there, and we'll look at that at the very end here too. But he said, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." When a word like must comes in there, it's not like there's some other options. It's, this is the only way. You have to be born again. And that's what Jesus told this religious man, Nicodemus, a ruler, who came to him by night. You must be born again. Well, Nicodemus had some questions. He said, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, you're a ruler of the Jews, and you don't know these things? Verily I say unto you. He says, if I told you of earthly things, you would believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Or he said, yeah, I told you earthly things and you don't believe. How can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is from heaven. So Jesus was showing him who he was and where he came from. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, going back to the Old Testament, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that serpent was put on a pole for all men to see that serpent. And if they saw the serpent, if they would go out and look at the serpent, they would be healed of that plague that was there. But they had to do something. They had to crawl out of their tents, even though they were sick, and look at that serpent. And then they would be, that was hanging on the pole, and then they would be saved. And that's the same with us. We need to see Jesus hanging on the cross as the payment for our sin, as the sacrifice for our sin, his blood that washes our sins away. We need to look to Jesus, and he's the only way. And in verse 15 it says that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, would not go to the hellfire and perish for all eternity, but have everlasting life. In verse 16, which we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Have everlasting life. And that everlasting life starts from the day that you get off of the broad road that's leading to destruction, and you get on the narrow road that leads to life everlasting, and that's through belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he did on the cross to save our souls, to be the payment in the sin. He became sin for us, that he who knew no sin would be sin for us, that we who didn't know any righteousness could be righteous in the eyes of God because of what Jesus Christ has done. And then it goes on in verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. You know, the world is already condemned. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. All those who don't believe in him are already condemned, and they can be saved through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in 18 that he believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Jesus, the true light, has come into the world, and men, they love their darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. People love their darkness. They love their sin. They love their own way. They love their going astray. They love their pleasure. They love their religious life even. People can be lost in their religious life. People love their darkness rather than light, the true light that Jesus Christ is. And he says there in 20 that everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are worked out in God, that they are wrought in God. Well, I'm running out of time here, and I'm going to have to close. But this is an inspiration for us today, an encouragement for us to look to Jesus, the one who died for our sins, and the one who has the answer for every problem we have in life. Oh, I talked to a man yesterday. He said that he's going through a lot of trouble in his life with marriage problems and things like that. And he says he just even thinks of taking his life at times. That's not the answer. The answer isn't taking your life, or isn't going to the bottle, or going another way. Jesus Christ is the answer for every problem that we have. If we only but turn to him, he will pick up the broken pieces of our lives and put them back together again. He promises to do that, and he's able to do that. So my encouragement is to you, no matter what you're going through today, look to Jesus Christ, and he will be able to help you repent of your sins. And if you're not born again, be born of the Spirit of God. If you have any questions about this, if you want somebody to talk to or come and visit you or whatever, and you can give us a call. You can leave a voicemail at the end of this message. Just press 099. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to encourage you if we can, and point you more to Jesus, or whatever we can do, we'll try to help. So I'm just going to leave with that. I want to read this last verse again that I started with. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And that day is coming for every one of us, that we're going to stand before the judgment of God, and we're going to give an account. He's going to know everything about us, and he's going to either say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord," or he's going to say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." So my encouragement is to you to look to Jesus, and he will meet your needs. Press 099 and record your message. Then you push the pound key. And that'll give you an option whether you want to save it the way you recorded it, whether you want to record it again. It'll give you an option, and then just follow those prompts there. So God bless you. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for those who called in today, and I pray that you would work in their lives and meet their needs, Lord. Give them hope in their despair. Give them grace for the needs of their life, and help them to see Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who is there for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. Thank you for the love that you have for all mankind, that you sent your only begotten Son. And Lord, I believe in him, and I believe in all that he's done for us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.